Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language. And sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
It's the booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to This Just In on Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
It's a skin condition too, yeah. But it's also off the liver, isn't it, Dubs?
Correct.
Is it the same cirrhosis. Family?
Cirrhosis and psoriasis.
Cirrhosis.
Cirrhosis and psoriasis. Yeah.
So it's cirrhosis of the liver.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what psoriasis of the liver would be like a flaky, dry liver, which I've had at many restaurants.
I love those.
But they're both PS words. So when you get told whether it's liver disease or a skin condition, it's PS. This is what you've got.
I thought cirrhosis of the liver was a C.
Told by a psycho.
Is it?
I think it's C-I-R-R, and then there's an H in there, too.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
C-I-R-R-H-O-S-I-S.
Gracias.
I always thought that sycophant should be a P word, but it's not.
It's a great word.
Yeah, it is a good word.
Mm-hmm. Should we try and roll it?
Phlegm's a great word to spell.
Yeah, ooh, that's phlegm, a like, that's PH. That's a P word too, isn't it?
PH, yeah.
With a G in there, G thrown in there.
Silent G, the killer silent G.
But it's perfect because phlegm is like that. When you get phlegm, it's that. There's a G in there, right? It's a perfect spelling for that word, isn't it?
It's guttural, yes.
That's the word guttural.
Mm-hmm. Well, the word would be onomatopoeia. Remember? Isn't that the one where the sound and the word sound alike? Buzz. Phlegm.
Onomatopoeia? No, that's from The Lion King.
Onomatopoeia. Oh,
onomatopoeia.
Stupid.
Onomatopoeia. It means not phlegm.
Hey, it's Monday morning, everyone. How was your weekend? Craig, you got
cold.
Yes.
It's cold.
Did you leave your apartment? Did you get out and about?
Jeez.
Where did he go? Did he fall?
His steady cam is broken.
So the supporters club were actually put out there on social, trying to find some of our great lines, and they put it out to the public to listen back on some former old Footy Prime podcasts. And the consensus was that Craig spoke a lot more in the earlier days. And that is because his computer worked, right? Now, here on Monday morning, the new computer has still not arrived. This might be a little bit about like our goals for the pod that never actually happened. But that's the reason for those wondering why Craig doesn't speak as much as he used to. It's a technological issue. It will improve when Wonga figures out where his new computer is.
I tracked it down.
You have?
It down.
Where is it?
It's at the UPS in Concord, Ontario, and I have till today to go pick it up. But
it was get sent back,
or else it was going to get sent back because I was on holiday. Mm. So
Concord.
It's not. Bird. I already went and picked it up.
Oh, you have it. You have it.
Yeah, I picked
Can
it
you
up.
Show it to us?
No, because I'm at. Look at my background. Where guess where I am?
Are you at the girlfriend's?
Prison? No. Yes. Ex-wife's house. So, yes, the old prison, as we called it, as we referred to it. Yeah. So, no, it is downtown because Craig is going on a bit of a vacay, right? So, we didn't have time. We'd have to spend 2 hours to get it set up, and we couldn't get our schedules together this weekend.
Where's Craig going?
Palm Springs.
Oh, very nice. When?
Well, I leave tomorrow. I go to Winnipeg, of all places. A bunch of the guys are from Winnipeg. Going to watch the Winnipeg Jets game tomorrow. Tomorrow night against the Islanders. And then hang around on Friday. Hang around on the 17th and then fly out on the 18th.
Oh, Winnipeg's beautiful this time of year.
Oh.
But if you're going to see a game, the Jets are fucking flying this year.
Best team in the league, aren't they?
Yes.
And you love your hockey, don't you, Craig?
I love the Jets.
Craiger, just check your they were canceling a lot of flights on the West Coast in because of the weather, so just be careful.
I know. Heads up. Yeah.
Is everything leaving still?
Yeah, so far, but if there's a winter storm going to hit, it'll be when I get to the airport.
That's just because the universe hates you, though. So don't forget that, okay?
That's why he travels with a sleeping bag.
Well, it's Footy Prime anyway. It's Monday morning. Craig's leaving us at some point. May or may not join us from vacation. You shouldn't.
Yes.
You shouldn't join us from your vacation. Just enjoy your vacation. That's important. Okay,
I've always got 5 minutes for you guys.
It's an odd time of year, isn't it, in the football world with the schedule the way it is, the way they break it up for the winter break. I think it started last season, wasn't it, or maybe the year before. Mm-hmm. For the first time they give teams half the teams a week off, and then the teams that played this weekend will have next weekend off. So there's always football.
Yeah, I was like all confused. I was like, why? And not only that, I bet on Brentford against who was it? But they didn't get the guy. Then the game's next week, so our parlay is dead. But it's floating still. It's a nebulous floating dead anyway. Dead.
Yeah, I fucked it.
Yeah, thank you, Amy Walsh. But it's,
and Bearshot fucked the supporters as well, unfortunately. Mm. But yeah, that's the reason why it's to give the players well-earned rest, because the authorities they appreciate the well-being of the players. And they've always got the players forefront of mind to take care of them. Would you rather, Jimmy, though, just shut the league down for a couple of weeks completely at this point? Or do you like that there's always some kind of football?
I like that there's always some kind of football. Never want to shut down the league. You don't want time off, especially if you're playing. You don't want it. You want to keep going. There's nothing worse when you get too much time off. What's that?
You got to play the games regardless. You know how many games you're probably going to have to play.
Hmm. Yeah.
You're just going to congest it somewhere else.
Yeah, you're going to cram them in somewhere.
Yeah.
But you know what it's like too? I mean, there was times where, you know, if you had the weekend off or it was international break and there was no games, and the manager sometimes would give you 3 days off, and it was terrible when you came back in. Because you'd have those 3 days off, and then they'd run the ass off you the first day back, trying to get you back into the swing of things. And so most times, nobody wanted the time off once you're in season. You just want to continue playing, and that's really the last thing you need is time off.
But those 3 days off,
you're in that groove.
Those 3 days off, though, Craig, I mean, you personally, would you just do nothing for 3 days, or you know, have a good time, or would you still have some form of training? I know I'm asking you this. I know the answer, but
he'd be on a plane to Marbella.
Yeah,
pants around his ankles, staring at the computer.
That's why Jimmy was having so much trouble when he came back, because he was on a fucking 3-day bender.
Was that what it was? Like, you didn't, like, you weren't responsible. Maybe went for a jog, a light jog in the morning, first thing on your days off. You did nothing.
No, I fucking nothing.
No. That's how Jimmy stayed. That's what Jimmy meant by staying in form. 3 day bender.
That's what it was. Yeah, yeah. The drinking. The wilted liver was
straight to London for 3 days.
Yeah. Hey Dubs, you're a healthy, fit person. That's part of your life. When you played in the off season so much, but in your downtime, was that still very important to you? Would you be one of those nerds that would have like worked out on your off days?
Yeah, I was, but I also
you were yes. a nerd. Or...
yes. Yeah. Listen, I've told my kids we're reclaiming nerd. Like they throw nerd around as an insult, and I'm like, hey. Nerds know stuff. If you're called a nerd, it's because you're an expert on something. So yeah, maybe I was a little bit of a nerd, but there were always kind of the overachievers, and I was not that. I wanted to kind of returning be in the best possible condition I could be in, but I also really valued a complete off day. There's merit to an active recovery, like whether you're in the pool or you're going for a walk or a light jog or whatever it is, you're in the gym and you're doing some mobility stuff. But there's also value in just completely checking out and just hanging out on the couch and watching a couple of movies or reading a book and not doing, like just doing fuck all. And then that did a whole lot, I think, for your mental health and your mental fitness, as it were, like just allowing yourself to check out. And I think that's what's lacking sometimes is because we're, you know, the support that's there in terms of the physical performance and the mental performance and the analytics and all of the experts that surround these players now in these clubs or these national teams. I think they are maybe cycling back to it or the pendulum swinging back where they're realizing that they have to prioritize that as well as the active recovery and all of the, you know, the meticulous stuff that they're able to do now. There's absolute merit to just checking out for 24 hours because it does your body and your mind a whole lot of good.
What's the longest stretch you've gone without working out?
Me now?
It's like a
it depends what you think of as like I've sort of
exercise
reframed what I think exercise
mental
is.
Mental exercise or physical?
Physical. Okay. I mean, this is a four times a week podcast almost. Yeah. Right? That's mental exercise. Physical. I want everyone to give us this answer.
Okay.
But you first, Dubs, right? And then that includes like a stretching routine, which
but
I'm
not
sure
no.
you do.
So I would say I do something every day. But I've reframed that. So where I am now as a 46-year-old is not where I was at, like, say, 20 years ago when I was playing or even 10 or 12 years ago when I was still playing. Like, what I consider of exercise and, in my prime, I'm well past my prime. Like, a little bit of movement. I mean, I think that's how people, in order to get in shape or feel better, have to reframe it. You don't have to get to the gym for an hour. If you can just get outside for a walk or a little bit of movement, that can do you a lot of good. So I've reframed that. So I say I do something almost every day.
I have a little bit of movement after my second coffee most mornings. So in that case, it's every day. How about you, Jimmy?
I walk a lot. I love to get out and walk.
How long do you walk for?
I always end up calling him when I go for my walks.
Is that when you call? Because sometimes you call me. Is that when you're on a walk?
Yeah.
And Craig hasn't picked up, so who else can you call? And you've gone through your whole like contacts, and then
nice.
I may as well get Shamas
a
fucking call.
I never get a call. That's nice, Jimmy.
Is that it though, Jimmy? At this point, because the state of your knees and everything else, like walking.
Yeah, no, I do. I love to walk. I find it peaceful. It's a time to think. Then I obviously make some phone calls. I love it. And then the other thing that I've just got into, and I went yesterday with my brother, Alba, Jess, is paddle. I don't know if you guys have heard this sport or played it, but it is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's like pickleball, right? But it's the European version.
It's like a smaller tennis.
Yeah, it's pickleball. Yeah.
No, it's not pickleball.
It's very similar, though.
Well, pickleball's for older people, Sharms?
No, it's not. It's being redefined now.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it the one, Jimmy, where you've got the little paddle and then the elastic and the balls attached and you just have to keep it up?
Yeah, but you got to be able to do it with two hands. No, it's you got glass walls behind you and you can hit it off the glass over the net.
What do you play that, Jimmy? Squash.
It was amazing.
My buddy
squash and tennis.
My buddy is Spanish. He played in the World Championships last year.
Really?
He's trying to bring it over here and make it more. He's actually involved in it in some regard. He goes around the world and he's trying to bring it and make it more of a common sport to play because it looks amazing. I want to play that as well. I think I'd be great at it. Where did he play it?
In Vaughan.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'll play with you.
What do they call it? What is it called?
It's called paddle.
You guys would love it. It's awesome. We played for about an hour and a half yesterday.
Hmm. Okay. All right. I want
to. I'll set it up.
Yeah, can you? Because I really want to play this. And my mate Jose has been trying to. We've been talking for ages. And he wants to get me out at some point. But he goes, there aren't that many courts at this point in Canada. Very few. But you know one, then let's hook it up.
Yeah.
Craig, does that sound something that you might want to try?
Yes. I like the sound of that.
Yeah. When do you, Craig, when was the last time you worked out?
2003.
This is, by the way, for the new listeners, this is a Canadian Sports Hall of Famer, Canada's greatest ever goalkeeper, Craig Forrest, talking here. Has not worked out since 2003.
Well, I do go for walks, and I walked up a hill the other day. I think it was about, it might have been 2%. And I was breathing really hard. Like, I was breathing out my ass. I was quite embarrassed by the whole ordeal.
Were you in altitude?
You know, I was about 250 feet.
You have a Sherpa with you?
Wagger. You had Wagger.
Wagger was your Sherpa.
Come on. Come on.
Herding the sheep.
Four more steps.
You can do it. That's so funny, right? You see these mountaineering documentaries, right? And you got these rich white dudes like just struggling up these mountains, and there's these Sherpas jogging up beside them in flip flops,
dragging them up.
They're literally dragging them up. Yeah.
I saw a story the other day that a Sherpa was accompanying somebody up. It wasn't Everest or something, but it was a really challenging climb, and somebody was close to death, and this Sherpa wrapped this person in a sleeping bag, gave them oxygen, and then hiked them 6 hours down the mountain.
Jesus.
Like it was nothing.
They're incredible.
Yeah.
They are incredible athletes.
Thank you.
And the willpower and mental.
Congratulations, Walker.
Just because you're Asian doesn't mean you can claim to be a Sherpa. Okay?
No, we're field people. We're great. We're great in the field.
Do you think because they've done it so many times before they start that journey up Everest that they have little bets? Like they must look at the group and go,
100%.
They must be going, you got no fucking chance.
Tony bet market.
You're gonna get halfway.
This is fantastic.
Yeah. Like what does this guy look like? What's his regular job?
Yeah.
Like what sent him here? Oh yeah. A
I
bet
got 10 bucks
in
on the fat hedge fund operator.
Yeah. The, he ain't gonna make it. The heavy white guy in the back. He's the first one to go down. I'll bet you a tenner.
When the thaw comes every year, they still find mountaineers who have just died up there and they've been there for decades. It's unreal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mountaineering appeals to me apart from the heights. I don't like heights, which is
and the exercise. The heights and the exercise.
There's that as well. Yeah. There's some great shows on Netflix though about the climbs. And there's one guy I watched recently, I forget now. I think he may have been a former Sherpa and Craig just died. He did the top five peaks in the world in like 6 months or something crazy. It was just insane. I forget what it's called now. Anyway, it's a very good documentary for what that's worth. But yeah, back to fitness. So Dubs, like often the FA Cup last week, you often hear when these smaller teams play the Premier League team is the biggest thing. It's not so much the skill and the pace. That's obviously something, but it's just how fit the Premier League players are. Mm-hmm. And usually, even if they can keep it tight for three quarters of the match, in the end, the fitness is what turns the tables and the Prem teams find a way to win. Was there ever a moment when you play where there's a huge gulf in fitness, either direction, where you realize, wow, that is where I want to be, or that's, man, we can beat these guys purely through physicality?
not me personally, but our team. So leading up to the 99 World Cup, and any time we would play the US or say China at that point, who were really like the cream of the crop, like they were leading the charge in terms of world standards in women's football, or Norway, say, we would be able to hang with them just because we were as good as athletes as they were for like an hour. And then I remember one time we were playing, I don't remember, we were maybe down in Texas somewhere, and we got to that 60-minute mark. And then I was thinking, maybe tactically we should probably be making some adjustments here, but no, we were going to keep pressing them really high and like just flying all over the place. And I knew that eventually it wasn't going to be enough, that we were going to run out of steam and then they were just going to overrun us. And there was like the beat of the drum in the stands, or beat of drums. And it was just in my head. And it was just like the inevitable was coming, that like we're going to get to that 60-minute mark and then the floodgates were just going to open. We were able to hang or keep them to like down, like 1-0 down. And then we're going to end up losing like 4-0 or something like that. So it was at that point where I thought, okay, you know, maybe technically I have a number of things that I can improve, but I think I can push myself so that like I could look across at those girls, like on the pitch, or like at a Julie Foudy, or a Tiffany Milbritt, or whoever it was, even a Christine Lilly, who I idolized, who played for the US. And I was maybe not ever going to be as skillful as them, but I thought when I'm training, I want to at least be able to match up with them fitness wise. And I think we came close, but then they always got the better of us because they were better technical soccer players than we were.
Dubs,
Craig,
Dubs, I'm just thinking in your brain when you're doing this, for some reason it turned into like one of those bubbles, you know, cartoon bubbles. And I was thinking of Roadrunner and Coyote, and Dubs trying to figure out with her Acme box.
Yeah.
Like, how do I keep up with these people? And like, oh, do I get the anvil? Do I get the Acme rocket? Was it like, because I remember playing and just going, when people were just better or more in shape, and you're like, it's inevitable, everything mm-hmm. turned kind of cartoonesque in my brain. And I'm like, what did it feel like?
Would that's you the always, acid.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Your mind starts to play tricks on you. It absolutely does. Yeah, but you also get to that point where, and maybe Jimmy and Craiger can speak to this as well, where you're chasing the game, literally, and you're hanging in. And then you find, and they have most of the possession, and you're finally able to win the ball. And then we're not able to keep it because we're so fucking tired. So like you can't execute the things that you should be able to, because you've pushed yourself kind of beyond that limit. And then you have to keep ratcheting up the fitness so that when you're fatigued, both mentally and physically, you're still able to execute passes and shots and actually get up the pitch. You're not pinned in your own third the entire time.
We were talking about that the other day, me and Jimmy. You know, just one of those games where you just can't get out of that rut. You're just pinned right back. You're taking a beating. You can't even seem to stop the rot. And everybody's been there at one stage or another. But as far as the fitness goes in the Premier League, Sharms, it's not just that, because Luton Town is just as fit as any other Premier League team, I guarantee you that. It's the pace of everything. Everything's just a little bit quicker. And then at the very top of the Premier League, everything's just a little bit faster again. And that really is what catches teams off guard. When you look at most of the championship teams, they are going to struggle no matter how good they play in that division in the Premier League. It's just that much better than quicker. And that's basically what catches people. There's just everything's happening quickly.
Yeah. What is that, Jimmy? Like, I mean, one division down, championship, still great football. But one division down, is that big a gulf between like technically pace, fitness to a certain degree?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, if you're in the top half of the championship, like one of the better teams in the bottom of the Premier League, the difference isn't too big. If you look at the Premier League, it's really three divisions. You got the top six, and then you got the middle group that's always there just hovering, and then the bottom that's always fighting that relegation. The teams are coming up and down at that little yo-yo part. But the difference is too between the top players and the guys in the bottom is it's really the thought process. how fast you think and how fast you can play and how well you see the game. It's the thought process is the difference between the better players and the players that aren't, and especially the lower leagues, because you think, you know, there's guys in the Premier League and guys in, say, in the third division that physically could be the exact same. They're just as quick, built the same, run the same, but the thought process of how you see the game is different. So that guy in the Premier League, those little windows and that split decisions that when soon as you receive the ball, it's off their foot because they've seen that window. Whereas the guy in the third or fourth division has to take a touch. Now he'll look, by the time he's looked, that window's closed. And when he plays the ball, he gives it away. And that's
a baby elephant.
Yeah. I mean, that's the difference, right? What they see at the top level and what they see in the lower leagues.
Is that coachable?
The thought process? Mm. No, man. No. I mean, you could probably try to work it a little bit, but there's no way. It's how you see the game. Look, if you're playing in the Premier League, you're reading the play as the play is going on. If I'm off the ball, I know exactly where that ball's going, three passes before it's going. And they start moving and they start shifting and they're trying to read the play. Whereas the lower divisions, you're trying to see it, but you don't see it the same as what those top guys do. It's like that in every sport. You watch the NHL, the guys in the best players, they're, by the time that puck's gone onto the stick, it's off it. Whereas in the lower leagues, they're taking a touch, their head's up. Now they're looking to see that next pass where the better guys know exactly as soon as it comes, it's gone.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it has to do with the way that you split the Prem up and kind of in those tiers? And then it's the day in, day out, and the repetition and their ability to replicate under pressure against higher quality all the time. Because if you look at those teams and the depth and the quality of players, you know, first on your roster, first on your team sheet, all the way through your substitutes, and just what that gives you in training. And then that continues to ratchet your level up continually. And then
you're buying the best players in the world, the players that can play at that level. And so their training, when you watch their training, it's all 1-2 touch football. Mm-hmm. All 1-2 touch. And the tempo is ridiculous.
Well, Craig, I mean, that's when you went to Chelsea on loan, right? That was you went from a good club, Premier League club, but you went to Chelsea, who at the time was in that, they were becoming what they were with world-class players. When you took that first training session, do you remember, like, was it a big eye-opener to you?
Well, I was rather, actually, even as many years has already been over there, I was rather nervous just because of the players I was joining in with, you know, Viali, Zola, Leboeuf, amazing group of players, talented group of players, and then they got Hullet on the sideline. He was joining in sometimes as a player coach. Graham Ricks was there. Yeah, it was kind of nerve-wracking, but I got to say, it was probably the best session I ever had in my life was the very first training session with Chelsea. I was on fire. It was a lot of fun, but yeah.
Then you went out for a big smoke with what's his name, the guy who just passed last year, Viali. Right? He's sitting on the curb, Viali?
Yeah, Viali, yeah.
Viali, yeah.
What a great man.
But you got to, Stacks, you know, like how fast is the training and the tempo? It is ridiculous how quick the small-sided games are.
Oh.
Is it not?
Amazing, yeah. The talent. It's actually probably worth watching more than some of the games you watch. The training sessions are just fantastic.
I remember when I left Bristol and I ended up going to Nottingham, some of the players that were in the squad were just ridiculous. And the tempo, and it took me a while to really get into it, just how fast it was. And then Norwich, the exact same, Southampton, the tempo was off the chart.
Was I mean, I don't even think it's up home
more than 3-4 times. What's that?
Was it intimidating at first?
At first, yeah, because you've got to figure it out how quick it is, and then you've got to find your space in these little areas, and then once you got into that rhythm, and then that was it, that was the standard, right? But it was at first. I was like, holy shit, this is fast, really quick.
Yeah,
and then I came back to TFC, and I was like, whoa, this is slow.
Get to a point, Jimmy, where you, well, obviously, when you're developing too, is that you hope you can make that jump. Mm-hmm. A lot of people can't. You get stuck in that quagmire and they never being able to make the next step and kind of get stuck there. And that's why you see so many players lower divisions is just aren't able to quite get there. And usually they have a weakness. It could be something that's going to be let them down, whether it's pace or something technical or fitness or whatever, make a different player than a Premier League player.
Yeah. I enjoy watching those documentaries on the lower division teams, like Wrexham being an example. They bring in some good players. Paul Mullen, for example, comes in at high cost at that level, who played some pretty high football, but never Premier League quality. This is a guy that was committed. He could finish. He had seemed everything, but was never able to make that jump to the top level. So whether that's mental or physical, but that I always found that quite interesting how you watch this guy, he's devoted, he's disciplined, he's determined like anyone else in the Premier League would be, but just missing something.
Yeah.
Right?
He gets up against a Virgil van Dijk and Virgil's got him in his pocket.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I find that, I mean, those rare occasions I played like charity games against former pros, right? And I mean, I joke around, but I'm pretty shit anyway. But when you're playing against that level, like this pace, that's what it is, this pace. It's like, holy fuck. It's just different level entirely. It's a different sport. It's a different sport. It really is.
I think the difference too with that Mullen is he'll need six chances to score one. A Premier League striker needs one chance.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's fascinating. Kevin De Bruyne is pretty good. Yeah. Just back into the... What's that, Craig?
Speaking about breathing out your ass.
But he's always got the red cheeks, though.
Yeah. He made a couple runs early on, and you could see he was like, holy shit. Like, he was just gasping for air. But, I mean, what a player.
Comes off the bench, goal and assist, and he's rocking the new locks, which got more talk on the dark web than his actual ability and what he did, Dub. So you're always obsessed by, what's with the hair? I think it looks pretty good on him. It works on him.
No, it doesn't. He looks like somebody out there impersonating Kevin De Bruyne. He looks like, you know, those people who are hired to be like the Tom Cruise or like these big stars worldwide to show up at these events in China. And you're like, wait, is that Tom Cruise? You know, it's Tim Cruise.
Do they hire doppelgangers for?
Yes, it's a thing.
It is?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
But they're not pretending to be like, it's not like, oh, we have Tom Cruise coming today and then some fakey comes in. They're actually just pretending. They're not.
But only in China, right, Amy? Only in China.
Yeah. No, I didn't mean that. Worldwide, anywhere.
Because those Chinese will fall for it.
What's your job? I pretend to be Tom Cruise. Guaylo.
The Guaylo will see it.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, listen, he came back. City beat Newcastle 3-2 at the death. And we've seen almost this new generation of City players too, aren't we? Kind of coming through and having more of an impact. Yeah, they're conceding goals, but they're looking really good. And De Bruyne coming into that 11 off the bench, Craig. I mean, it's just it just puts City under a brand new light, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does, yeah. If he's going to get his fitness levels back, and the way things are, they got no players at the African Cup of Nations either, so they're sitting in a pretty good spot, and they generally play really well second half of the season. But so, yeah, if he stays healthy and fit, I think City win the league.
Which I hate. I don't like that at all. I hated De Bruyne's hair, and I hated to hear that from Forrest. I don't want them to win.
Well, they haven't won yet, Dubs.
No, I...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
No, but I mean, you look at De Bruyne out of shape, trying to get back to match fitness, and he gets what, half an hour, and mm-hmm. and he scores a goal and puts one on a platter for Oscar Bob, right? So yeah, who still had work to do after the fact? But that ball was sublime. Even the way that he finished that goal, just like it looked almost like the timing was off the way he hit it, but it was just orchestrated perfectly.
Right. It's got to be good, right, to get into Pep's squad. These kids getting their debuts now. I mean, Oscar Bob, I think, debuted last year, but still, to break through and be trusted by Pep Guardiola, I mean, what a rush that must be for a player.
Mm. Yeah.
And if a tremendous name.
Get into the City team, you're something special, to be fair. And what a name, Oscar Bob.
Yeah. Better than Bob Oscar, isn't it?
Way better.
If your name's to Bob Oscar, you're probably a car salesman.
Yeah. And to me,
Bob Oscars, Bob... Chevrolet and GM.
True. To me, really, he sounds, because he's Norwegian, right? But he sounds like he's Norwegian by way of the bayou. Like he's from the south in the U.S. Oscar Bob.
Yeah. Oscar Bob. Yeah. Bob with two B's. Or three B's, actually.
That's right.
That should be his nickname. Hey, three B's. It was in that room. That's his nickname. Three B's.
Three B's.
Yeah,
three
B's. Not very good, Charms.
I want to workshop that a little.
I know
bit.
You're riffing, but that wasn't great.
United tied Spurs 2-2. I think Spurs a little bit unfortunate in that one. United not great once again. Did you see Fergie in the stands sitting beside Sir Jim Ratcliffe? That must just cause poor old Ten Hag's blood to freeze in his veins, eh, Craig? When he sees that, oh, this is not going to work out well. It's not German or French, but... Well,
everybody gets you, Alex Ferguson in the crowd there. But knowing that, I bet you there's managers. I know when I was playing sometimes, there could be one individual. It could be just one player. It could be the manager, you know, whatever, watching or somebody. And I'd be more worried about that person being there, or somebody saying, oh, so-and-so from another club is going to be here, another manager is going to be here, and be more nervous about playing in front of the one person than the 30,000 other people.
Totally. Jimmy, was there a individual that when you're playing, you went, oh, fuck, look who's here? Someone made you nervous? Anyone?
No, not when you're playing, because you don't really know who's there.
Mm.
But I can imagine if he's coaching and he... You know, Ten Hag kind of looks around and he sees Ratcliffe and Ferguson sitting together. He's probably thinking, oh, for fuck's sake, what are these two talking about now? They are judging me. Something's up. Why would he be here? Why are they sitting together? What are they thinking? That would definitely come into play.
What's Fergie saying to him, Jimmy? Put yourself in Fergie's head.
This is absolutely rubbish. Let's get rid of him.
Yeah.
Or he'd be going, this team's a bag of shite.
There we go. I was hoping not for an accent.
Fit, not fit to wear not the fucking fit. Shirt.
No doing justice for this Man United.
How the fuck is Anthony Martial still here? How? Yeah. How is it fucking possible? That kind of stuff, right? That's what's being said.
It's way better than your Ten Hag.
You've got a big job in your hands. Yeah.
I like Charm's Charm's accents when he raises his voice. Like,
yeah, I know. I very Scouser good. And Scottish. For whatever reason, I tend to do that. I just finished reading Irving Welsh's most recent book as well, which is all written in the Scottish parlance. AJC, fantastic. The Long Knives, it's called. It's the most. Mm. Oh. It's vintage Irving Welsh, like just debauchery and deprivation. Like you can't go much lower. It's incredible, right, JC? The most horrendous, horrendous. I don't know how his mind works, but it's a dark place. Let's put it that way. You should give it a whirl. It'd make you feel good about yourself. Right in the back streets in the seedy underbelly of Edinburgh. Mm. A troubled cop doing what's right while doing what's wrong at the same time.
You just wrote the intro for that, turned it into a movie.
It's actually a Netflix series too.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Same title?
They kind of combined. A crime. It's called Crime. Hmm. They've combined a couple of books, and I haven't yet watched it because I was reading this book first. But yeah.
Oh, speaking of books, while I was on holiday, I read my first book in 10 years. So I broke through. Yeah, I broke through a little. I read a David Sedaris book, and it was great because he does kind of short essays.
Yeah.
And for my ADHD / whatever I have, that block, I got through 300 pages of a David Sedaris book. So I've broken through. I'm going to start reading again.
Congratulations.
Walter, are you the guy that reads silently, or do you read out loud to yourself?
I read in front of a microphone while I'm playing piano. People don't know this.
You sitting on the beach reading out loud.
You don't need a mic.
No, I really don't.
That's true.
He's one of those people that is not quite out loud, is not to yourself, it's not silent, but you're mouthing the words and you can just kind of hear you.
Yeah, when I'm trying to spell cirrhosis.
Yeah.
When I'm trying to spell cirrhosis, or I saw Charm smile when Craig used a really good word. What was it? Quagmire.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Charm smiling because Craig used quagmire. And we're like, it's a great word.
How does Jason Sedaris, Steckers, have time to write books and be Ted Lasso?
I don't know, but it's true.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Same guy.
Chelsea won again. They beat Fulham 1-0. Three straight wins. 4 wins and 5 in the Prem. They're back, aren't they? Hey, watch out. Watch out for Chelsea. Anyone watch this game?
I did not.
That one.
Okay. So we can't provide much insight then, can we?
We'll ask Carey and Starks to mention some things about it.
Break it down for us. Starks, Carey, have they turned the corner this time? Do you see positivity in that Chelsea team right now? Are they climbing up the table? European spots? Is it going to happen for you? Lots of rumors about them adding in the window, which we can all laugh at the side of our mouths over. But.
And if you're wondering who we're talking about, Carey and Starks are part of our Footy Prime Supporters Club. So if you guys enjoy Footy Prime, please reach out to the Footy Prime Supporters Club on Twitter.
Yeah, follow them. Become a member.
Yeah.
Right? Are they charging yet?
No, it's free, I think.
They should charge.
Yeah, they should charge.
Yeah, we should freaking charge.
Yeah, we should charge.
That's a model, isn't it?
And Chelsea
getting
women.
Paid for things. sorry, Dubs.
I was just saying.
Is there a vetting process do you think they go through to get these supporters on board?
Proper persons test?
Yeah.
Our supporters club.
If they don't really like the person.
If they've shit their pants at least 3 times as an adult, they've made the cut.
Yeah, and it costs you a fiver to get in.
That's right.
Everton tied Villa 0-0. Forget the game. Who cares about that? But although there's a 4-minute VAR check in that one, eh? Leon Bailey's goal disallowed 4 minutes late for an offside. Give me a break. Emery, so what's his line here I saw? So Emery is averaging exactly 2 points per game in the Premier League with Villa. This being his 92nd point, Craig, in his 46th league match. No boss has ever had a points per game of 2 or more, having played 40 or more games and not gone on to win the title with that club.
Wow. That's impressive. And at Villa as well. I mean, no disrespect. That's double impressive.
Yeah, they're for real. I mean, it's a full season. A split over 2 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a fluke.
No. He did it in Spain as well. Same sort of level club, I would say, in that league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's brilliant. I love what they're doing there. Everton, by the way, about to learn today, and Nottingham Forest too, about whether they'll be charged with fresh financial fair play charges. Forest apparently are most in danger of being charged, although Everton very nervous, having already, of course, been given a 10-point deduction. You nervous, Jimmy?
A little bit, yeah. I am.
Hi, Jazz.
If we get a point deduction, we're in trouble. We're in trouble big time. Everton's done well to get where they are. I mean, Sean Dyche, you got to give him credit. You know, 10-point deduction, and all of a sudden get themselves out of relegation. And I think they'll end up surviving, but I don't think we've got enough in the locker right now that if we do take a 10-point deduction to survive.
Why am I more worried about the smaller clubs getting point reductions than the big clubs? It just seems as though the big clubs don't seem to be playing under the same rules.
Yeah.
No, exactly.
They got better lawyers.
Well, we'll see when City finally get faced with these 189,000 charges, right? At some point this year, they got a court date, so they say, but hey, who knows? What they should do to raise money is just have more games in Saudi Arabia, right? See the Spanish Super Cup? Real Madrid, Barca, El Clasico in Saudi Arabia? Real smash Barca, but maybe that's the solution to raise more funds, eh? No?
Yeah. If they can't do a Super League, they just play all your games in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Did you see as well they did a minute silence for Beckenbauer? And it got whistled and kind of people were not having it. But I think it's a cultural thing that they don't do minutes of silence. But so again, it's not having the foresight, right? You think, oh yeah, let's have it in Saudi Arabia. And then you can't do a minute of silence to honor a legend.
Wonder how many fans traveled for that game.
Well, if you got it for free from the club, from the oil barons, they just said, hey, jump, we got some planes for you. Come along.
Wonder how many came home.
There was an article in The Athletic, I'm not sure you read it, about the Super League and this what's been proposed, right? And includes free-to-air broadcast. They're going to stream these games live, and the idea is to make it free for everyone. And they're saying, how financially is that even feasible? But it's all about getting eyeballs on it. And would that draw people in? And it's that reality of the situation, Craig, is it would, right? If the clubs, I don't think they're going to, but if the clubs did say, you know what, this does make a lot of sense. Sorry, UEFA, to hell with you. We're going to go into this 64 three-tiered Super League. Give it a little while, and the fans would be aboard, wouldn't they?
Probably. At least the fans involved. So the other clubs that aren't involved, you're kind of making it life even more difficult for smaller clubs to financially make themselves viable.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. I mean, I don't want to get into a Super League conversation, but it is the new format that they are pitching, which again, I'm not a supporter of. I don't want it to happen, but it makes some sense in some regards, and it's to take on UEFA. It would maintain domestic league football. It's just basically encompassing Champions League and Europa League into one big old three-tier thing, essentially is what it is. But anyway, enough on that, because it's probably not going to happen. What else? So Harry Kane scored again, right? He's equaled Lewandowski's German record. Is this a statement, Dubs, on Harry Kane, the brilliant footballer, or is it a bit of a statement on maybe the Bundesliga, although having a couple of like top elite level teams, not quite being the same level as the Prem?
I think it's a bit of both. I think it's credit to Harry Kane and the tremendous form that he's in, that you can kind of drop him in any league and he's still going to be able to score goals almost at will, and sort of ratchet up the level of his team. But I think it points to the Bundesliga in particular and the lack of parity that exists there. Who is it that's there's Bayern Munich, and then who is the old, is it Xavi Alonso who's coaching the other team that's doing really well? Yeah.
Leverkusen.
Right. So other than the top teams, I mean, are the games that he's facing these lower teams, you know, are those just gimmies? So does that tarnish it a little bit in terms of the output and the strike rate that he's putting up? But I think it's all credit to Harry Kane, and looking ahead at the Euros and what it means for England. I think they're going to have quite the side going into Euros.
Yeah, Jimmy, I mean, Lewandowski was revered when he played at Bayern Munich as being one of the greatest number nines in world football, maybe the best. Are we being a little bit unfair on Kane to say, well, yeah, he's doing this, but hey, it is the Bundesliga?
Well, I mean, look, you got to take that into consideration as well, don't you? I mean, the Premier League is the best league in the world. The best defenders are in that league. And he's playing in a Bayern Munich side that, you know, dominate that league every single year near enough. But you do have to give him credit for settling in, finding his feet right away and continue to score the goals that he has. So, I mean, yeah, you've got to give him credit. Yeah, it's not the Premier League, but, you know, he's doing it in a very, very good league, one of the best leagues in the world. But I think the big one is Champions League and how far they can get and against the better teams in world football. But there's no doubt about it. Look, it's Harry Kane. We all know how good he is. He is one of the best strikers in the world.
To be knocking up numbers like he did with Spurs, and no disrespect to Spurs, they're not the top Premier League team. But if you took him and you throw him in a Man City, he would do the same as he's doing for Bayern Munich. Just like Haaland moving over from Germany, where he's always filling that over there, and he actually does even better in the Premier League with Man City. Yeah. So you put real quality up top in a side like Bayern Munich, and you got yourself a little bit of magic there with what he's doing. And, just a fresh start for him, I think, was a really big help for him. I think leaving Spurs was an excellent thing, as well as maybe even leaving the Premier League and going to the top of the German league, where they've won 11 straight titles. They've got themselves a bit of a title race this time around, looks as though, with Leverkusen, but chances are they're going to end up at the top.
Yeah. That's a good point, isn't it? Because we're so used to King hitting 25 to 30 goals. We never questioned, oh, well, he should get more because he was just bossing the Premier League. But you're right. That was with Spurs. You stick him in a C, he probably will be hitting 35 to 40 goals every year. Yeah, I never kind of thought of it that way. That's a good point.
Sharms, Craig brought up magic, and I just wanted to go back a little bit on our Prem coverage on the magic of VAR, because there was this great call at the Luton-Burnley match on Friday, and JJ Watt, who's the former NFL defensive end, I guess owns part of Burnley right now, and he goes, what are we even doing here? In what world is this not a foul? And it was a foul on the basically a player came in and blocked the keeper. And I wanted to know, and then Craig Forrest wrote off of J.J. Watts's, this is referring to the Luton Town late equalizer. Absolutely bang on. It's not VAR that's the problem. It's the people using it. Burnley FC royally screwed. Craig? What do you think?
Yeah, I think JJ Watts got it right. I mean, there's a couple things about it. I mean, I don't know how they miss it. Goalkeepers are a protected species, too much so, in my opinion. But he's clearly blocked out. And then there's the other side of it, too. I'm not sure he would have actually got to the ball anyway. I don't know if it was a little bit on the high side. So JJ Watts would be like an uncatchable. But that's not really the case. I think it was a pretty much clear-cut foul and should have been disallowed. It was incredibly a surprise that they didn't do that, especially knowing what the striker is doing. You can see him look at the goalkeeper, literally trying to block him out. And that's clever.
And to your point, when I was watching this, you and I were texting, I was like, he didn't even have to block him out. I don't think he would have gotten there. He could have just stood there. And is that what came down to it? Is that perhaps the keeper couldn't, like, it wasn't uncatchable like the NFL? And they just, but isn't that, he's still being blocked. So this is what I don't understand. And Noel Butler, one of our followers, or one of your followers, said VAR needs rebranding to VAR, Video Assistant Referee Errors. I don't know. I don't know what you do, but it seems like it's a little bit broken with the 4-minute, like Lineker said he went out for walk his dog and he came back and they were still deciding it. So I'm just, you know, it's not an experiment because it's part of the game now, but it has to be optimized, right? It's fucked up right now.
Yep.
It's fucked up. I don't know. They've got it in their heads, some of them, that they're trying to be, unless it's clear and obvious, I'm not, you know, I'm going to let the referee's decision stand. And they're looking at that and going, wow, it's not a clear and obvious mistake by the referee. I'm not going to get involved. But then you look at it and go, well, no, he should have got involved.
But that's still subjective, right? That's a problem, right? For what Craig might think something's clear and obvious, Dubs might think it's not, right? So it's so difficult. If you've got to spend 4 minutes on it, then it's clearly not clear and obvious, right? Yeah. And that was offside, is a little bit different in that case, but you know what I'm saying. I know they're talking about, and maybe they've confirmed the new automatic offside technology for next season, I think, which should cut that down, I believe. But yeah, it's, you know what? We were sitting here before VAR bitching and screaming about officials, how awful it is, how terrible it is. The game's gone. We can't enjoy football anymore. We'll always be bitching and screaming about something. Just happens to be VAR right now. And yeah, I don't know. I'd rather scream about human error than technological error, but still.
Yeah. Yeah, but really what they've done now is they've just taken the pressure off the referee, because the referee goes, oh, VAR's on it. And now all the pressure's on the VAR individuals. So you've just taken that pressure and just put it over here now. And now with VAR, they're taking 4 minutes to make a call, because now they're thinking, we have to get this 100% right, because if we don't, the backlash is going to be ridiculous.
Yep.
It's all they've done. They just shifted it.
Yeah. The bundle of nerves in the VAR box, I'm sure.
Oh, they're shitting themselves.
It must be awful. Yeah. But I think that's what's made like the cup play so refreshing, is the lack of VAR, right? So I think it brings all these other narratives into it. But I think we're seeing, you know, going back to the old days, you know, before all the technology. So if you do automate something, then you're removing the subjectivity. Great, I'm all for that. Or like goal line technology, yes. Or anything in the box that looks like it could be a penalty or a foul on a goalkeeper, yes. And then get rid of it. Don't use it for anything else.
Yep, yeah, exactly.
We have to land somewhere where there's a middle ground, where you're using technology to your advantage. You're not using technology to allow more subjectivity to creep in.
Yeah.
And the rule book doesn't help either, right? Like the handball rule book.
Right.
So confused and so blurred. You throw in VAR as well into that process. And before you know, we don't know what the hell the rule is anymore.
Mm-hmm. So there was some good kind of shithousery online by the Luton admin, I think on Twitter, where they took the various points in a game where the Burnley keeper was going to ground. You know, like the time waste where you're like, you're grabbing the ball quite easily. And then you look around, there's nobody around you and you just drop to ground. So they clipped probably 5 or 6 instances that he did that during the game, and then clipped the foul to make it seem like it wasn't a foul, that he was just going to ground easily. So I always appreciate that.
Social media shithousery. Some clubs do a great job of it, don't they? Really do. Elsewhere, Tejo Buchanan was on the bench for Inter Milan. Didn't see action. They won 5-1. John David scored for Lille. He turned 24 over the weekend. 4 goals in his last 6 games. 11 goals, 6 assists in all competitions this season. His name's been out there for a couple of big moves, including United, actually, I saw at some point this weekend what was being linked. Jadon Sancho got an assist off the bench for Dortmund. So these names in the news are getting onto the pitch in most cases. MLS and CPL camps begin. Jesus Christ. It's like it just started. Now, did you hear this Luis Suarez clip? I sent it to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is before he joined Miami. Now, Luis Suarez was unveiled officially. He's at his press conference. He's trained with Inter Miami. This is speaking to a Uruguayan radio station prior to signing with Miami. He says, the days before each game, I take 3 pills, and hours before playing, I get an injection. If not, I can't play, hence the limp. I have to think that in maybe 5 years, I won't be able to play 5-a-side football with my friends. The truth is that the first steps in the morning are very painful. Anyone who sees me thinks that this is impossible for me to play a game. My son asks me to play with him, and I can't. Is this just typical of an aging player, Jimmy? This is how you feel? Or is this major flags for Inter Miami fans? He was great last year in Brazil. Yeah. He was fantastic.
It's major flags. He's got more drugs in him than a pharmacy.
But also, what are you doing publicly making those statements, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't.
They just saying to the fan base, lower your expectations, guys. Yeah. This is not going to be a great run for me.
They're overpaying for me. Yeah, lower right. your expectations.
I'm going to take this money and hang out with my buddies from Barcelona, and then I'm going to fuck off.
Exactly. Are they going to wheel him in? Wheel him into the stadium, and all of a sudden he's going to be running like a deer after he gets all.
That'll be awesome. It'll be like one of those preachers, you know, Ernest Angley from back in the days, going, hey, Suarez, you're healed. And he'll come running out of his wheelchair.
I would suggest this, though. If you're a fan of a team that plays on turf, yeah, you're probably not going to see Luis Suarez this season.
No.
When Miami come to town.
Can you imagine that? That quote that we've been sending around about him in his interview, can you imagine the ownership and the coaching staff at Miami sending that around? Going, holy shit, what have we signed?
Yeah. We need to get a pharmaceutical company on board. Come on, we gotta fund this.
I would have loved to see the medical when he gets on the bed and doctor comes over looking at him going, oh, for fuck's sake. Yeah, everything's great. He's looks good.
Yeah. the doc's saying to management, so how many games a year do you expect him to play?
Yeah. Because his knees are gone, his ankles are gone, just shut up, Doc. Sign him off. Okay.
I know. We'll see. Listen, like I said, he did that last year in Brazil and he scored like, what was it, 27 goals or something? He was brilliant. I don't know. It's that Inter Miami team. It could go all right or it could go all wrong.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, anything else you guys want to get to before we move on?
We were just talking about the other Canadian players out there. Jade Rose scored. Dubs, there were a couple more that you and I were just adding to the rundown.
Yeah, not Jade Rose, Deanne Rose. Vanessa
Deanne Rose,
scored
sorry.
For Lyon. Evelyn Vienne scored for Roma. And Olivia Smith, who's lighting things up as well for, I think she's in Portugal.
Yeah, and it was really John really David's. Well. Kyle Larin scored John David's birthday. So one of our bits was going to be, he's just turned 24 yesterday, was happy birthday, Jonathan. But the big thing was, what were we all doing when we were 24? So maybe that's what we'll talk about. 24 in January. When you're 24 in January. I know for probably Jimmy and Craig and Amy, they were probably playing pro or somewhere. I don't know what January your season was, Dubs, back then. But it'd be interesting. Sharms was probably just starting off at Footy Show at the Score.
Not even if that'd be Sports World, yeah. I can guarantee that our ex-professionals' lives were much more interesting than mine were at 24. I can guarantee you that much. At least I should hope so, anyway.
I would to see a photo of James Sharman at 24.
Maybe that's what we'll do. We'll share our 24-year-old photos.
An old Sports World picture somewhere, I'm sure. Yeah. I tell you what, far less of a roadmap on my face. Bright eyes, a spark in my eyes, excitement.
I think you're better looking now, pal. You're better looking now than you were.
You think? Well, you haven't seen me, yeah. In fairness.
Yeah.
But
pardon me?
You haven't seen me, though, when I was 24. You don't know that. But I appreciate it.
I've seen pictures. You look better. You look like a man now. Back then, you looked like chubby, a chubby six-year-old, a chubby 5'10", six-year-old.
You ever see that when you think back when you're at the time, you know, when you're younger, you think, oh man, you had these issues, these body issues or whatever, things you didn't like, and then you see photographs years later of how you're like, actually, I look really good. What the fuck was my problem?
Yeah,
why did I hate myself so much? Yeah, I'd say that right now in a second. Mm-hmm. Come on, one person here wouldn't take their 24-year-old body over what they have now. Anyone?
No, not my body was all right at 24.
Yeah, mine wasn't great, but it wasn't this.
I go to the beach now, and I just look like part of the beach. It's just my hair showing, the same color. It's just like, who? What is that? What's that guy doing there?
That's not where's the walrus head.
They think you're just a pile of sand, but then they hear you reading underneath it. They're like, oh, there's Dan Wong reading as David Sedaris.
Me and Cabells. Jimmy would try and ride me.
A little seaweed on the beach. Oh no, it's Wonga there.
Jimmy, don't try and ride Wonga, okay?
Or one hump or two.
Oh, always two, Dubs.
Get them around the pyramids.
You're gonna make up for the first one, haven't you? All right. Tony Bedos, yeah, you know, you let us down this weekend because the results didn't come through for us. But we thank you anyway for being a wonderful sponsor. FuboTV.com. Premise back this weekend, as you mentioned. Really enjoyed those games. Just the five, including Friday, right? And then five again next weekend. So keep subscribing. FuboTV.com/footyprime. We're back on Wednesday for the foundational episode. Let us know what you think and give us some comments and questions via Twitter. For Monger, what Monger's whale sack. Monger's whale sack. We got a new
name.
Might
be some roe in there. Might be some roe in that whale sack.
A lot of roe.
Let's have some caviar on Wednesday.
Monger's whale sack. You Monger.
Okay,
hey, New York City GC, how is that bar to watch the Tottenham match?
Well, I thought it was the official, but it was actually the runoff bar. So the people that were at the bar, this place called The District in Greenwich Village, I think it was. It was very tame. Everyone was really excited. It was very tame. I'm like, this doesn't seem like it was very like, you know, younger, hip New York dudes mostly. They're like, oh, wow, he should have played that ball. And it was just weird to hear them like talk like this. And then I talked to these three guys. They're like, oh, no, the actual bar is around the corner. But it's so packed there. If there's a guy, there was a guy wearing a United jersey. Like if he walked in there, he'd get the shit kicked out of him.
Oh,
so nice. And it was called Fleming's, I think. Anyway, I went around the corner. Trust me, that's not far off. This bar was like you walk in, and it was like encased in like they built a wood sort of shed around it. It was very odd. Then you go in, and it just
like a coffin.
Pretty much. It smelled like cigarettes, and apparently Harry Kane's brother was in there. And they were like, we got Harry Kane's brother in there. He's in there. He's in there. I'm like, well, that's something. But that it was very, very tense. Like the mood in there was very, very tense, so we didn't stick around.
Oh, my.
But it was cool. It was like, interesting. And we just happened to stumble upon on that bar. It was very interesting.
If it was called Fleming's with a PH, it would be a Liverpool bar anyway.
Oh, hey, let's watch some games now.
I would call it H-A-I-R-Y, Harry Kane. And it wouldn't necessarily be the best kind of bar.
Maybe it would be.
Right.
Oh, this is free, Brian.
You're making me gag with that. I'm just thinking about it.
A little bit of PH phlegm.
Yeah. Buy newspapers. Cheers for listening.
Go, Bill.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by FuboTV and by Tony Bett. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG.
Great Monday morning, guys.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.